Who's the man who's able to walk a straight line while being watched by an authority figure? It's a junkie. It's a drunk. It's a compulsive overeater. No, it's Sober Man. Welcome to episode 118, Sober Man Podcast, formerly Al Berman live from a studio apartment. I will probably be saying the formerly Al Berman live from a studio apartment for a long time, just because it just seems like the thing to do. How is everybody? I hope everybody's fine. Of course, that is a rhetorical question. I'm not going to wait this week, like I believe I waited last week for an answer, because the answer never came. It's a beautiful day out here in the valley where I live in Los Angeles, California. And it's 175 degrees outside. But with my air conditioning, I'm cool as a cucumber. Cool as a cucumber. I can't believe the weeks, how quickly they go by. It's August already. August 2015. Before you know it, I mean, we're coming towards the end of the, you know, we're that time of year when we just, you hit, like, once you hit Halloween, it's over, right? Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, my birthday, Happy New Year. So I'm trying to live life to the fullest by doing a podcast by myself in my house in the middle of the day with nobody around. That's what I call living life to the fullest. Okay. Sort of an update. Dwayne, my neighbor, who's actually responsible for now making my website accessible on all devices, he took on the challenge to get me into the iTunes store. And hold on, before you get excited and think that I'm in there, well, the last time I talked to him, which is a couple days ago, he said he was running some tests, and it's really complicated. I don't even know, you know, how people do it. I mean, I guess I'm not really connected to a lot of people who have podcasts that are on the iTunes store. One guy who I am sort of connected to, and I asked him, and he had no idea. He had somebody who did it for them, did it for him, and I think I asked if I could get this person's, you know, contact information to hire them, and I think that that person was no longer doing it. You know, there was always some kind of snafu. It's a word you don't hear too often, snafu. So, you know, the whole point, why is the iTunes store, why is it so important, Al? Why do you just give it up? Why don't you just let it go? Well, I'll tell you why it's important. I'll tell you why. Because, well, it's basically, I mean, it's just a way to for people to discover this podcast. And then once it's on the iTunes store, and then say you're a fan of the podcast and you leave a comment saying how much you enjoy it, then that does something for the ratings of the podcast. And then what happens is they, like if you're a podcast fan and they go, oh, well, he's a, you know, this is going to be in the comedy category, believe it or not. So if you're listening to other comedy podcasts, I do believe they will suggest other comedy, different podcasts for you to listen to. So my hope is that I'll be in there. Again, I don't have any big dreams of this becoming like, you know, a super duper big podcast, although why not? Why shouldn't I? I mean, I'm maybe it will be. I mean, I'm just doing this to mine for material, and you know, so that's that. I mean, for my comedy bit, I mine for material for my comedy act, not my comedy bit. What am I, an amateur? But within my stand up, I would like to, you know, get some kind of that I would like some more success than I've been having lately. Speaking of that, speaking of stand-up and speaking of success, I haven't been up that much in a while, Started back last summer, and then my mom sadly passed away. Used that as an excuse for many months. Just was eating myself into oblivion, and gained some weight, folks, because I wasn't heavy enough. You know, I needed to gain more weight. That's what my doctor said. He said, "You know what? Your life is simply not in danger enough. Please gain more weight." And then finally, around March, I think it was the beginning and middle of March, I changed my food. It's going beautifully. I have dropped some weight. People are noticing. I'm noticing. And it feels good. And this time, what I'm trying to do is trying to accept the fact that, I am a food addict. I am obsessed with food. But I don't have to be obsessed with it all the time. And so, like, I'm not doing the cheat day. Like, before I was doing the cheat days. Oh, my cheat days were like Saturday or Sunday. But then I would live my whole life for my cheat days. Oh, I can't wait till this cheat day comes. I'm going to have M&M's or whatever. Now, I believe I've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. I have surrendered myself to the fact that I must eat healthy. It's better for me. I feel better. I look better. I taste better. At least that's what I'm told. So I'm just doing that. So anyway, I got my food. What I'm saying is my food is more in order now. And started exercising this past week a little walking. You know, got to get back in the shape. Because back in the, when I was super young, and I don't mean when I was in the womb, when I was a early 20s, I was, running 5 miles on the track. I would run a quarter mile track, 20 laps, 19 of them forward, and the last one, just so I could show you I could do it, I'd run it backward. I was like a gazelle. That's what one of my friends actually compared me to at that time. And, through choices that I made, I got into some darkness. I headed into deep, dark drug addiction. And then I got sober. And then my food addiction, which was the original addiction, drug addiction, just proliferated. It just became, holy mackerel, can I eat anymore? But now I'm doing a lot of work on myself, folks. I hope you appreciate it. I hope you understand what I'm doing for myself and for you. Because if I feel better, you feel better. All right. So much for that. So, wait a minute. Did I talk about the stand-up? No, I didn't. I went out, because I got to go to the open mics to kind of, just to kind of spit into the microphone. And it's a little challenging because I had this. I don't know. When I came back to stand-up in 1990, and even went back, even before that, when I was doing stand-up, it just seemed like in the open mics there was more talent. I haven't really been around lately to open mics. Last year when I did it, though, it was just brutal. You know, it just seems like there's more people that are trying to become stand-up comedians. And I think that's just because there's more people on the planet Earth. And they were asking Jerry Seinfeld, why are more people doing stand-up now? And he goes, because they think they're going to be me. And they're not. Which he's probably right. I mean, you know, there's only going to be one him. And most people, sadly, will fall by the wayside. Hopefully I'm not one of them. I'm a Capricorn. And I'm told that we're resilient. And we often get our success later in life. But if I wait any later in my life, I will have to wait until the next life, if you believe in reincarnation. Hey! Anyway, I went out to one open mic, and I signed up, and then they did like a lottery, and I pulled 18. They were going to give everybody 5 minutes, and it was like you were kind of stuck in this room. There was no other place to go. I knew I was going to be, there was only people waiting to go on there. So I chose to leave. But the main reason I left, though, is like a friend of mine asked me later on, why couldn't you have gone somewhere and come back? I probably could have, but I was hell-bent on going to a store, this one store where I like to get the load up on their chicken and stuff like that. It's like a Whole Foods. It's called Lassen's. And there's a brand new girl that works there that's just unbelievably amazing. She should be like a movie star. And so I just wanted to go there and see her. I mean, I wanted to, you know, gaze upon her and gaze upon the chicken and other things. And so I chose to leave. But I did do a, I guess kind of what you call a booked open mic. I mean, it was an open mic because the guy books it. It's a little bar not far from my house. Nice room. It's the kind of place that I think, could be a good comedy room. If they could pack them in. Not that many seats, but there's a bar and there's some seats and this and that. And I got there and they put me up first. And, you know, if you know anything about stand-up comedy, generally you don't want to go on first. But in this situation, I realized after I did it that first is better because, again, it was just people waiting to go up to do their sets. And I did well. I mean, I went up. I did an old bit that I just thought about that afternoon that kicked in. I go, oh, I haven't done that bit. So I did the version of that, and then I did something I've been thinking about for years, a new bit, and they both, you know, pretty much work pretty well. I mean, they're not polished. And then I did some riffing, some improvising, because that's what I do. And, you know, and I got some good group laughs from a group of people. There's one lady, the rest were guys, that are waiting to go on. So I would say that's pretty good. So I'm planning to go back out again this week, and hopefully this time I don't get sidetracked and get knocked off my comedy pedestal, but I was on a pedestal, my comedy focus, because, you know, I've been at this a long time, folks. It's time to do something or get off the pot, if you know what I'm talking about, which I did get off the pot because I'm sober now. See the way I did that? I took a thing and I put it over there. All right, so I went to a place. I had a gift certificate that I won or somebody gave me to a place that's a Middle Eastern food place. I had a $10 gift certificate, and the name of the place is called Spitz, S-P-I-T-Z, which, you know, I grew up, Spitz is traditionally a Jewish name. I think, you know, at least where I come from. And, but I was thinking Spitz is not the greatest name for a restaurant, you know, where food is involved. You know, it's, and I kind of knew this, I kind of surmised this, but I was mentioning it to the lady who worked behind the counter there, and she validated my surmising. She said, you know, Spitz is because the meat is cooked on a spit. And I go, I know, but still, come on. I mean, really? But I have to say something. You don't forget that name. And the food was good. It was good. And there was no spit in it, hopefully. Sorry. I hope I didn't gross anybody out. About that. About I never forget to eat. Do I look like I never forget to eat? This isn't the bit. But maybe this will become the bit. I don't think I look like... I think I look like I... miss very few meals. You know, the only thing about doing jokes like that, I don't generally do fat jokes. You know, even when I was at my heaviest, I remember a very good comedian friend of mine had said to me, you know, I don't even think of you as being overweight. And I said to him, you ought to get glasses. But I'm sorry. Anyway, so I don't know why I brought up my dad with the food. I just thought about it, you know. Because I'm working on the food. My dad's so thin. Oh, my God. He's so slender. But he's what they call a sugarna, which is loco in Spanish. And you figure out the rest. But kind of in a good way, but also not such a good way, if you know what I'm saying. Ah, you know what? I'm rambling here. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be dissing my dad. I'm not dissing my dad. Dad, I'm not dissing you. So I want to talk about the PC situation that's going on. I heard this week that was a couple things. I heard and saw. Let's see. The first thing is, I don't know if you saw this, on Facebook, somebody posted a video of, it was an African-American gentleman in a suburban neighborhood. There were just homes, so he had his own home. I don't know if did I talk about this last week? For some reason, I think I did. Well, if I did, I'm going to talk about it again. Basically, for some reason, I thought I did. I don't know. Hopefully not. He was barbecuing, and somebody complained about the smell of the barbecue, and they had a county official came to his house and was citing him, telling him he was had to contain the smell on his property. Okay, that's crazy enough. And I'm going to stop. I'm not even going to go any more into that, because just in case I did talk about that before, I don't see it in my notes here. I don't think I did, but I possibly did. So if I did, I apologize. But if I didn't, I apologize for apologizing. But there's a school, a college somewhere, and I think it's the Midwest, I'm not sure, where you can no longer say America. Because if you say America, implying, you know, the United States, then you're dissing, you're disrespecting South America, okay? That's the logic there, you know. You can't say illegal aliens, you have to say undocumented workers. But my argument would be, like, what if they're not planning on working? I'm not saying they're not planning, but what if they're not workers? How can they just be undocumented people? It's just, George Orwell is going, even I didn't envision it to be like this. It's so amazing. But, I mean, you know, what's next? Are you going to be like, you can't say hello, because then you're offending people who are leaving? You know, you're leaving. If I'm leaving and you're saying hello, that's not right. And my theory is, all this political correctness, the way it's going, the way it's being completely managed into craziness, it's going to implode. It's going to eventually implode. It cannot sustain. You cannot keep doing this to people. I mean, it's bad enough. It's making me feel like, you know, things were better in the 50s and 60s. And I know that in a lot of ways they weren't, but in some ways they were, you know. And which brings me to, okay, and this might be an unpopular thing, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but, okay. I am totally for gay rights and I'm for human rights. Gay, straight, any color you are, any religion, I am for your rights and your freedoms. Bottom line, I back you up. I'm on your side. I got your back. Now, you know, recently the gay marriage is now legal for people of the same sex to get married. And it's fantastic. That's really good. That's great. Bravo, hallelujah. I'm really happy about that for the people who want to get married. I have a gay friend who said to me, did you notice, like, on Facebook that all the people that changed their profile to the rainbow colors for the gay, the rainbow colors for the gay, you know, signifying that you support the gay marriage. He said they were all straight people. He said the gay people weren't doing that. I believe it. He's a gay guy. He has the right to say that, right? I didn't know. But here's my point. I go to Gelson's, and people stand in front of the supermarket sometimes and ask you to sign petitions or donate money. And the other day, there were people who were there asking for money for gay rights. And I'm not the only one. I've spoke to another friend of mine who was just really angry about this. And it's just like, Are you freaking kidding me? Are you freaking kidding? I mean, at what point do we go? I mean, I don't know. It's just like, if you're going to raise money for that, why don't you go get a phone room and target an audience instead of standing in front of a store and just randomly asking people? It just seems like it's not very effective. I don't know. And I didn't really talk to them. They were talking to some other people. But I don't like it when those people, not those people, the gay people, I meant like any people in front of the supermarkets, because I kind of feel like one of my friends says, well, what about my right? My right to go to the supermarket in peace and not be accosted by somebody who's trying to raise money or have me sign a petition. And am I on my high horse? Is this a high horse thing? Anyway, it just got... my fear for the gay rights people is that they're going to get people who are on their side to start turn against them if they just keep, you know... I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is. I mean, my point is this. I don't see black people standing in front of the store, you know, going, hey, you know, let's get rid of prejudice and racism, you know, which I'm all for, you know. And by the way, being gay and being black is not the same, okay? Hate to tell you, folks, being black, there's nothing like it. You know how I know? Because I was black in a past life. There you go. Okay? Argue with me on that one. All right, this might not have been a very funny podcast so far. I don't know. I got one more thing to talk about. Hopefully it was amusing. Hopefully it was thought-provoking. Hopefully it was something. I subscribe to Mike Tyson's YouTube channel, I believe. Well, anyway, I like him on Facebook, so I follow him on Facebook. He posts, you know, he's a boxing historian. So he posts not only his own fights, but other fights as well from the past. And I just I was thinking about this because I'm kind of a germaphobe, being a neurotic Jewish germaphobe, is that, you know, these boxers, you know, they go in the ring and they're sweating and they're boxing and they're sweating. And then afterwards, you know, one of them wins. And then the people who like are on their side, or maybe even the ones that lose, it happens. People on their side are wearing like seemingly wearing clean clothes and they're hugging these sweaty boxers. And I just think like, wow. I think I would just maybe do like a fist bump. Well, you don't want to do a fist bump with a boxer. I would do an elbow bump, you know, or I would just wait until he showered. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Okay, we've come to the end of another lovely podcast. Today, as you've been noticing, if you've been following last 3 weeks, I've been posting a song as the outro from my band from back in the day, and today's song is called "What I Could Do." I wrote this song by myself. I'm again the lead singer, and on this song is a harmonica, which is being played by Peter Case, who was the lead singer of the Plimsolls. They had a big hit at the time called A Million Miles Away. He's a renowned solo artist as we speak. And so that's the song we're going to play out at the end of the podcast here. And hopefully soon I'll be able to tell you that I'm in the iTunes store. I can't wait. I just cannot wait. Oh my gosh. Anyway, thank you for everybody, who listens to my podcast. I really do appreciate it. It's a challenge to do this, to keep doing it, to keep motivated. You know, I don't really know how many people are listening and, how many care. I know a few care, but, I think I need some more caring, you know, from other cares, other people. I need people from other places and walks of life to care. Anyway, until next time, this is Al Berman from the Sober Man Podcast.